What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
And it's second and three. Big toss. Wide open. Spinning catch. Cut touchdown. Strong play and a good catch by Kirk. Ball a little behind it, and the Texans have their first lead of the night. Stroud in trouble. Finds a place to go, and he's picked. Eccles has got it. Another turnover by this Texans offense. Extra offensive lineman in there, Fisher. Here's a little pitch back to Stroud, looking to air it out. Ball's out. Recovered by Pittsburgh and Y.A. Black. Steeler ball knocked out by Jack Sawyer. First down and goal. Ball back outside the 10 as Marks has his first 100-yard game and takes it into the end zone for a touchdown. Third down and 12. Rodgers, time runs out. Ball is out. It's picked up by the Texans and Sheldon Rankins. And he is in for a touchdown.
Continue to coach. If he's let go, there'll be a lot of suitors knocking on his door for that as well.
Here's an interception for good measure. It's picked off by Bullock. And Rodgers is in his way, trying to make the tackle. Can't, and it's a touchdown, Texans.
I'm not even in that mindset as I sit here tonight. I'm more in the mindset of what transpired in the stadium and, you know, certainly what we did and didn't do. Not a big picture mentality as I sit here tonight.
I mean, this league has changed a lot in my 21 years. You know, when you hear a conversation about the Mike Tomlins of the world, Matt LaFleurs of the world, those are just two that kind of I've played for. And when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat, you know, but the way that the league is covered now and the way that there's snap decisions and the validity given to the, you know, the Twitter experts and all the, you know, experts on TV now who make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about. To me, that's an absolute joke. And for either of those two guys to be on the hot seat is really apropos of where we're at as a society and a league, because obviously Matt's done a lot of great things in Green Bay and we had a lot of success. Mike T has had more success than damn near anybody in the league, you know, for the last 19, 20 years.
Yeah, sorry, but Aaron Rodgers is full of crap on that one. He really is. And shout out to Rodgers for serving this city and his team well this season. It ended horribly. But the story today is Mike Tomlin, and what Rodgers said there is just not accurate. This isn't about the Twitterverse or short spans of attention or people getting swayed by outside forces. This is about a head coach who can't get it done anymore, period. And if Rodgers wants to go back to when he came into the league in 2005, I've got plenty of examples of guys who at that time were having sustained success or were about to, and would be fired. Of course, I could go all the way back to Tom Landry. I'm sure Rodgers, as a student of the history of the game, knows that Tom Landry got pushed out of Dallas and Tony Dungy out of Tampa Bay, etc. But when he came into the league, when Rodgers came into the league in 2005, among those coaches employed who were having success or were about to have major success and still get fired were Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Multiple conference championship games and a Super Bowl appearance. He won basically every year. Fired. Brian Billick was in Baltimore at the time. Had one of the legendary teams of all time, won a Super Bowl. Fired. John Fox in Carolina, which was barely in the league at that point. Super Bowl appearance, multiple division titles. Fired. Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati takes over a moribund franchise, and moribund is a good word, limits, and takes them to success they hadn't seen since Boomer Esiason. Several playoff appearances. Fired. Marty Schottenheimer in San Diego, 47-33 there, and coming off a 14-2 season in which they had the best record in football but couldn't win in the playoffs, lost to New England. Fired. Tom Coughlin? Yeah, he was with the Giants at that point when Rodgers came into the league. And as history tells us, and as anybody knows, he went on to beat the Patriots, including the unbeaten Patriots, in the Super Bowl. And he beat them twice. Took away two Super Bowls from Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Well, what happened to him at the end? It was a, quote, mutual parting of the ways, but Coughlin said he still wanted to coach. He was pushed out. Maybe Rodgers forgot that his coach in Green Bay, who had all kinds of success, had basically an identical resume to Mike Tomlin, beat Mike Tomlin in a Super Bowl, fired. John Harbaugh, who has an even more identical resume, if we want to update the story, fired, but only after, what, 18 seasons? So the whole society's gone to pot. We don't have any patience anymore. Why do we talk about firing coaches like Matt LaFleur and Mike Tomlin is a bogus narrative that makes no sense and has no basis in fact. Period. It's time for the Steelers to part ways with Mike Tomlin. If you want to do it the Coughlin way, do it. A mutual parting of the ways in which he was told behind closed doors, it's time. Bob is not here, but his mannequin is over there. Limits, how are you today?
Angry, disturbed, and frustrated by what I watched in person.
You were in person. Were there fire Tomlin chants near the end?
Not that I heard.
Brian Bacco reported that there were some, a smattering, a splattering, something like that.
I think Chris said the same.
The real splattering was what the Texans did to Mike Tomlin's team.
And what the Texans defense did to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, on the field last night. And this is only getting worse. This isn't getting any better. It's only getting worse. It was the worst home playoff loss in the history of the franchise. It should have been the worst loss, period. It should have been about 45-6 if C.J. Stroud didn't go full Bill Buckner for the first half. You had the other team blasting Renegade in their locker room. The worst yardage differential in a Steeler playoff game. And, oh, speaking of Marvin Lewis and Marty Schottenheimer, Tomlin passed up Schottenheimer and tied Marvin Lewis for the longest playoff losing streak in the history of the NFL at 7 games. So you tell me what's going to change. What is going to change? And more to the point here, why is it that Tomlin is largely viewed as the guy who's going to make the call? Why is this different than Harbaugh? Bunches of national media were supportive of the Harbaugh firing, but this, can't do this. Tomlin makes the call. He makes the call on this one. Let's wait and see what Mike wants to do. Bill Belichick didn't make the call, and he won 6 Super Bowls. Pete Carroll didn't make the call in Seattle. Andy Reid didn't make the call in Philly, or Harbaugh in Baltimore, or Fox in Carolina, or Billick in Baltimore, or Schottenheimer in San Diego, or Coughlin with the Giants, McCarthy in Green Bay, Dungy in Tampa. But what are we doing here? And yet I turn on the television this morning, limits to NFL Network, and I hear Tom Pelissero's reporting, which, by the way, I believe is accurate. I don't think Art knows what to do at this point. I don't think he knows what to do. And I don't know that he has the spine to do what needs to be done for everybody's sake. Mike Tomlin has been, as I've said many times here, a great representative of the city of Pittsburgh and a really good football coach. And it's time to move on. Okay? Everybody moves on at some point. Tom Landry was fired in Dallas. He's a guy that Tomlin himself used as an example the other day when Harbaugh got fired. Nobody can be Tom Landry anymore. You are Tom Landry. You once had great success. You've stayed too long, and you can't win the biggest games anymore. A missed field goal got you to this point, and now it's time, and it's just going to get uglier from here. Why would Tomlin want to put himself through this? What's the draft going to be like, a Fire Tomlin festival? And then he opens next season with everybody waiting. And every time things go sour, that's what it's going to turn into again. It's just time. In fact, it's past time. And yet I hear Pelissero say this on NFL Network this morning.
That is going to be a conversation, of course, that involves the owner, Art Rooney, who has never shown any interest in moving on from Mike Tomlin, but certainly for Mike Tomlin, who is now 19 years into his career in Pittsburgh, there will come at some time a point at which perhaps it's best for everyone involved to move on. That is a conversation, from my understanding, that would have to be initiated by Mike Tomlin if he were to decide to step away from coaching altogether, or if potentially he would want to go someplace else. In other words, this is not going to be Art Rooney coming to Mike Tomlin and saying, we want to trade you, we want to hire a new head coach. Rooney has told me in the past that as long as you see a coach that has the locker room, the guys believe in, and you personally as the owner believe in him, you do not make a change. The Steelers have had only three head coaches over the last half a century or so. This is not a team that makes decisions on the fly or based upon one game. But certainly there are some conversations that are going to take place starting today. And it'll be fascinating to see exactly how the big picture unfolds in Pittsburgh.
Really, Tom, based on one game? That's what we're talking about here. There are kids on their way to college very soon who have no conscious memory of a Steeler playoff win. And more to the point, as I always say, this 7-game losing streak in the playoffs, which is tied with Marvin Lewis for the longest of all time, the average margin of defeat is more than 2 touchdowns. Does it really mean that much to get in when all you do is get blown out? Now, he might be right there that the conversation would have to be initiated by Mike Tomlin. I don't understand. I don't get it. Why is he Teflon in this situation, but all the greats that I've mentioned weren't? Tom Landry didn't get to make his call. I think I've already been through this litany. Bill Belichick didn't get to make his call. He won 6 Super Bowls and went to 8. What are we doing here? Mike McCarthy didn't make his call. Pete Carroll in Seattle and all the other names I just mentioned, they didn't get to make their calls. And this wouldn't be unprecedented either. It was said on this station, I don't know, maybe it was right after the Baltimore game. I read the notes from that day from Pony and Mueller. Mike Tomlin is off the hot seat. The league has never seen a coach win 10 games, win the division, and then be let go after a playoff run comes to an end. Yes, they have. I'd like to introduce you to Marty Schottenheimer, who went 14-2 in 2007. The best record in all of football, lost a competitive game to the Patriots, and was fired. It has happened. And it's certainly not about one game. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. And again, this is all said without rancor toward Tomlin. He's a good coach. In fact, it's said at this point with compassion. It's just time. Why would he want to put himself through this? It's going to get worse. It's going to get uglier. So Art needs to step in and be the boss. I know he lets Tomlin be the boss. You've heard it. You just heard one of the NFL's best reporters say, well, if this is going to happen, Mike Tomlin's going to have to initiate the conversation. What? What are we doing here? Initiate the conversation, Art. Walk down the hallway and say, Mike, it's time. Honestly, it was probably time last year when it looked like your team quit in a playoff game in Baltimore. And did anybody see the fourth quarter last night, what the defense looked like? They looked like they were intentionally allowing a touchdown to get the ball back so they could make a comeback. It's just time. It's okay. Everybody survives. Maybe everybody thrives. Plenty of situations like that. It's 19 years, lots and lots of great stuff. A Super Bowl title early on. And now it's been seven straight playoff defeats. A couple of years in there, you missed the playoffs. And then you look at the record, let's just take a five-year span. If you include all the horrible playoff losses, and again, last night was the worst home playoff loss in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. 10-8, 10-8, 10-8, 9-8, 9-7-1. This is Jeff Fisher. This is Marvin Lewis. What are we doing? Can somebody like slap me in the face and wake me up here? Why is he going to make the call?
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And it should be really, really obvious. Like, this shouldn't take, you know, days or weeks or months or something like that. It's time. And ideally, I would look to trade him. And that's happened several times in NFL history with some pretty big names, including Bill Belichick, including John Gruden. That would be my first option. If it's true, that an NFL team would hire him in 5 minutes, then let's put that theory to the test. Let's go out and get a first round pick, if you're the Steelers, for Mike Tomlin. I'm not convinced that would happen, by the way. I think people these days are way more interested in offensive minds as their coaches, guys who have a history of offense. Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen, people like that. Maybe I'm wrong. D'Amico Ryans puts that to the test because he's got one hell of a defense. He's got the defense that Tomlin wanted and bragged that he would have this season. I think a lot of people would like that too. And I think they would take him ahead of Tomlin in a second. So that theory that I've heard again 1,000 more times since last night, he could go anywhere he wants. 5 minutes, he would have a job. It's probably true. But so would Sean Payton, Mike Vrabel, Liam Cohen, D'Amico Ryans, Jim Harbaugh, Mike McDonald, Ben Johnson, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. Do you want me to keep going? What does that even mean? Who cares? There's more than 10 coaches in the league who would have a job in 5 minutes, and probably a bunch of coordinators and probably some college coaches. But that would be great. I feel like I'm repeating myself from a year ago today or whatever day the playoff loss was. In that, what a great start it would be for Mike Tomlin. Everybody has had it here. It's just going to get uglier. It is. It's just time. He could get a fresh start somewhere, come in as the conquering hero, get all the money in the world, do whatever he wanted, go wherever he wanted. And he would and should be remembered fondly here. But it's been a long, long time since he was a great coach. And when it comes to the playoffs, he's one of the worst coaches in the league. Now, you get there, I get it, but he's 8-12. So we talk about the non-losing streak, right? But ironically, he has a losing record in the playoffs, It's 8-12 with a 7-game playoff losing streak where his team gets blown out on average by 2 touchdowns. So again, if our first conscious memory is around 5 years old and then you tack on 9 years, you have kids turning 15 headed shortly within 3 years toward college who have no conscious memory of the Steelers even coming close to a playoff win. Think about that for a second. And what would lead anybody to believe it's going to get better? All of this at 412-928-9370. Some of us were fooled late in the year. I include myself among them. I thought they were going to win. I thought they could make a run. I thought the quarterback was the reason. I was wrong. Lots of people were wrong. Now it's time to make decisions. It happened. This has happened before. You've had coaches do this and get fired. They barely scraped in. They got destroyed like never before at home in a playoff game. And here we are again. And yet you have people like Willie Colon going on there saying Mike Tomlin will have to fire himself if it's ever going to happen. And it shouldn't happen, he says. Again, the records and the point differentials, if you'd like them, because point differential says a lot. 10-8 this year, minus 14 point differential. 10-8 last year, plus, I think, 19? 10-8 the year before. Are you sensing a pattern? Minus 30-something. 9-8 the year before that, they missed the playoffs, and they're minus 50-something. No, minus 38. Sorry. 2021, blown out of a wild card game, 9-7-1. They're like minus 70-something. I mean, this is unbelievable. And people seemingly don't even know it. It's just best for everybody. The Steelers, Mike Tomlin, everybody involved here, just to say this was great. It was a great marriage. It went kind of sour at the end. It's just time to move on. It's not time to stay together for the kids here. It's time to go live our lives. You can have a great life somewhere. We'll have a great life here. Hug and say goodbye. It's time. Please, it's time. It was time last year. And that was the first time I ever went on the air here or wrote that Tomlin must go. That was after the Ravens debacle. And it got worse. It got worse. The other team's quarterback fumbled 5 times and threw a red zone pick and you got beat by 24. The Houston Texans were blasting Renegade at Acrisure Stadium. I remember a long time ago when I was doing the show with Ron, talking to Ed Bouchette, and I was comparing the Steelers to the Texans. I think at that time, the comparison was the Texans have had more playoff wins than the Steelers over the past 5, 6, 7 years. And he just laced into me and said, are you comparing the Texans to the Steelers? I said, no, I would never insult the Texans that way. And now it's even more true. Now it's really come home to roost that the Steelers are indisputably, based on the last decade, a lesser franchise than the Houston Texans. But let's do it again next year, or at least let Tomlin make the call. Here, Mike, here's my number in case you lost it. Give me a call and tell me what you want to do. Is that what Art tells him? Mike, great year. We were above the mean. We made the playoffs. Whenever you want, tell me what you want to do next. Would you like me to trigger your contract extension? You tell me for 2027. I'll wait on your word on that. If you want that extension for 27, give me a call anytime. Yeah. In fact, if you want a new contract beyond that, just call me. Yeah. It's your decision. You call me. 412-928-9370. Limits, your thoughts on the matter.
I don't think that there's any other way to look at this other than it has to end in the coach leaving. The coach being either fired, the coach mutually agreeing to part ways with the organization. That's the only way that things can change. They've changed coordinators. They've changed GMs. They've changed quarterbacks.
Yes.
They've changed every single asset of this team, every facet of it. And I think you put it perfectly. Nothing is ever going to change unless the head coach, that is a de facto co-GM as well, is no longer here.
But we agree that it won't happen.
We agree that it won't happen unless he wants it to happen.
Let me ask you this. The percent chance that Mike Tomlin is not the coach next year. I'll still put it at around between 20 and 30 because I think the nature of that debacle last night may actually force Art to wake up, although I doubt it, which is why I put between 70 and 80 that he's the coach next season. And then I guess if Tomlin wants that extension triggered, he can just give Art a call and tell him.
Yeah, I'm right in the middle.
If he wants a raise, he can tell him that too.
I'm right in the middle of what you said.
If he wants a new contract, he can just tell him that too.
Well, there is no reason to pick up the option. Like, unless you are falling back on the crutch of we are above the mean, there is no plausible reason as to why his team option for 2027 should be picked up. And this should be taken as a prove-it year. And if Tomlin doesn't want to go into it as a lame duck, yeah,
the prove-it years are done, though. Don't we agree on that?
Yes.
He's proved it. He can't win playoff games anymore or even come close.
No. No, another blowout. This time, they're 73-0 deficit in the first quarter of playoff games in the last six, just morphed into the fourth quarter when the Texans scored 23 unanswered in the fourth quarter.
Now they've only been outscored in the first quarter 73-3 limits.
Yeah, good for them. They finally scored in the first quarter, Joe. It was a revelation. It felt like things were somewhat different at first.
All right, let's hit the phone lines.
But again, it's 19 years, and they've only won a playoff game in four of them. I was a sophomore in high school the last time that they have won a playoff game, Joe. I will graduate with my master's degree that I spanned out over 3 years at Penn State this spring. And there are people, like you said, that are going to high school, that are going to college, that have no idea what a playoff victory in this city means for the first time since the 60s. And that is flat out pathetic.
And there's plenty of people who think we're crazy. Like we're the crazy ones.
They're idiots.
And I heard again this morning, Willie Colon, man, you don't think the Jets would sign up for this? To which I always say, you go to their idiot owner, Woody Johnson. You go to the Arizona Cardinals owner. You go anywhere you want. And Miami Dolphins, and you tell their owner, I've got a deal for you. You're going to go to the playoffs six times in the next 9 years, but you'll get blown out every single time. Would you like to sign that deal? And every one of those guys would laugh in your face. What? What did you just say? I'm going to go to the playoffs six times in 9 or 10 years over the next decade. You're basically telling me I'm not going to come close to winning a playoff game in the next decade and you want me to sign that agreement? Hell no.
No chance.
Not even the Jets sign up for this. Sorry.
No, you just sound like a moron saying that. And I just don't understand how that's plausible, that people could possibly think that.
So guess what? The Jets and Dolphins and Cardinals don't sign up for this over the next decade. They don't. Really? We're going to go 10-8? In a bunch of those years? We'll make the playoffs six or seven times and get destroyed every time. So over the next decade, you're asking me to look this over. I'll look over this pact. It seems like the bottom line is I'm going to have this franchise for another 10 years and I won't come anywhere close to winning a single playoff game. What are you asking me to sign here? So get out of here with that, please. All right, Limits, let's have a leadoff call.
Here is our guy Lou in Staten Island.
What's up, Lou?
Hey, Joe, man. Listen, I read your article this morning in the paper, and I just listened to what you said. I mean, two things. Thank you for having the courage to say it, because for some reason people don't want to in this city. And the knowledge. You just rolled off so many things that I'd say 50% of the fan base, maybe more after last night, including myself. I've been saying it since 2017 when they made Blake Bortles look like Dan Marino. But let me add a few more things to what
they made Woody Marks look like Walter Payton. But go and with what was yep. And what made this especially galling, Lou, this yep. season especially galling, is yep. that coming off a playoff game in which Tomlin's defense allowed 300 yards rushing, these guys in training camp had the nerve, the gall, to tell the world they were going to be a historically great defense. And then the team's flagship radio station gave Tomlin a chance to pour water on that and say, well, no, those guys are getting a little crazy. How about we compete in a playoff game first? How about we win game one? Instead of doing that, he took out a match and a can of gasoline and poured it over what they said. And he said, I think we can be historically good. It's just, it's crazy. And Art just sits there and listens and watches and waits for Mike to tell him what's next.
Right, which is mind-boggling. But let me mention a few of the things, Joe, okay? This is important. This man has been coaching this team for 19 years. Out of the 19 years, only four, they've actually won a playoff game. That's equivalent to being like 100 years old in the real world. You know what I'm saying? In 2025, 2026 in the NFL, that is simply mind-boggling that this man still is employed. He's also lost games with franchise quarterbacks. I'm tired of him hearing about how he hasn't had a quarterback. He's lost many playoff games with a franchise Hall of Fame quarterback. And one other thing, too, when it comes to the owner, okay, he is the equivalent to Rip Van Winkle. This man has been asleep for a decade. And the only time he wakes up from his sleep is to give a contract extension and reward mediocrity. And that's the reason why we're in the position that we're in. And the other thing, too, which is simply mind-boggling, Joe, and this is just frustration. And I think I speak for a good part of the fan base, right? He's just a coward. That's the only word I could describe the owner. He can't be a stupid man. I do believe he cares. He wants to win, but I think he's a coward. And what I mean by that is that he's afraid to fire this man. That's what it comes down to. And everybody said the same thing about Belichick. Oh, my God, he can get any job he wants. You know what? Nobody offered him a thing.
You never know. That's the thing. You never know. And you raise a good point there, because maybe quietly, it doesn't seem like enough people know this, Mike Tomlin has a ruling hand in personnel as well, like Belichick did. Does Tomlin just want to go somewhere else and just be the coach? I don't know. I do know this. His playoff career winning percentage is .400, which ties him with Jason Garrett and Dave Wannstedt. Silence for effect here. Also, John Robinson and Mike Zimmer and Dick Nolan and Jim Fossil and Art Shell and Red Miller, all at .400. Now, Tomlin has coached more games, playoff games, than them, but he's also coached a million more years than most of them, right? So, Ron Rivera is right around that. Jerry Glanville, Steve Mariucci, it's at Jeff Fisher, very appropriate, Jeff Fisher. That's where we are. That's where we are. And again, for Tomlin's sake, as much as anything else, Art should walk down the hallway for Tomlin's sake. I don't think he deserves all of what's going to be ahead if it doesn't go well next year. It's just, it's a bad situation, a bad scene waiting to happen. What about the draft? What's that going to be like? It's time. 412-928-9370. Lots to talk about. Aaron Rodgers' future. The game last night, such as it was, just an absolute bludgeoning. And for all the Steelers talk about physicality, and they talk about it every year. Every year. Number of years ago, who was the offensive line? Adrian Clem. We're bringing back the nasty. Look who we drafted. We drafted Kevin Dotson. We're going to get back to running the ball. We're going to get back to pushing people around. Look what happened to that team last night. Oh, my God. If you can find a physical pounding administered to the Steelers on that level. Oh, wait, it was just last year that the Eagles and Ravens did it to them. Forget that one.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, this league has changed a lot in my 21 years. You know, when you hear a conversation about the Mike Tomlins of the world, Matt LaFleurs of the world, those are just two that kind of I played for. And when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat, you know, but the way that the league is covered now and the way that there's snap decisions and the validity given to the, you know, the Twitter experts and all the, you know, experts on TV now who make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about. To me, that's an absolute joke. And for either of those two guys to be on the hot seat is really apropos of where we're at as a society and a league, because obviously Matt's done a lot of great things in Green Bay and we had a lot of success. Mike T has had more success than damn near anybody in the league, you know, for the last 19, 20 years. And more than that, though, when you have the right guy and the culture is right, you don't think about making a change. But there's a lot of pressure that comes from the outside, and obviously that sways decisions from time to time, but it's not how I would do things and not how the league used to be.
I mean, he's just wrong. That's all. I don't know what else to say other than that he's wrong when he says there wouldn't even be a conversation about the Tomlins and LaFleurs of the world when I came into the league. I already pointed out all the examples. Long before he got into the league, there was Tom Landry getting fired in Dallas. But when Rodgers entered in 2005, Andy Reid was about to go on his run, or was already into it maybe, in Philly. Multiple conference championship games, a Super Bowl appearance, and he was fired. Brian Billick was in the league still then, having success in Baltimore, had one of the greatest teams, won a Super Bowl. He was fired. John Fox in Carolina, of all places, multiple division titles, Super Bowl appearance, fired. Marvin Lewis in Cincy took a terrible franchise, got them to the playoffs a bunch of times, fired. Marty Schottenheimer, fired after a 14-2 season. That kind of outdoes Matt LaFleur, 47-33 record. Tom Coughlin with the Giants, the ultimate example of guys who were in the league with these teams when Rodgers came into the league. He would go on to beat and vanquish Belichick and Brady and the Patriots twice in Super Bowls. And guess what? He got pushed out. Hasn't changed. The social media universe has. Teams don't make their decisions based on that. They want to win playoff games. And no matter how much regular success a guy has, or no matter how much success a guy may have had in his deep past, NFL owners want to win now. And it's true. Plus, if you did move on from Tomlin, it would be 19 years. That was the ridiculous thing about Harbaugh. When you had Tomlin saying, man, you know, Tom Landry, use that as an example. Don Shula, that can't happen nowadays. That is happening with you and Harbaugh. You've both been around forever. And if you can't win playoff games, people are going to talk about you being on the, quote, hot seat, and they always have. If you can't win playoff games. Guy LaFleur is 3-6 in the playoffs. Tomlin's 8-12. Two of the worst marks, really, ever. If you're looking at guys who have coached that many playoff games. And speaking of Schottenheimer, Tomlin surpassed him with his 7th straight playoff loss. So he's tied for first all time in playoff lose. Do you want to come back and have the number one longest playoff losing streak of all time? And the average margin of defeat in those 7 losses is more than 2 touchdowns. I'm not sure why this is even a real conversation. But anyway, back to the phones.
Here is Cameron in Youngstown.
Hey, Cameron.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm not going to say good morning because I don't think it really is for any of us out here. But, you know, I just have a few points that I kind of want to get to. At the very least, both coordinators need to be fired today. If they're not going to get rid of Mike Tomlin, something's got to change.
Hasn't that already changed? How many coordinators have they been through on both sides of the ball? You really think that'll make a difference?
I mean, no, I don't, but I think that that would be the plan that Art would take over actually firing Tom. I mean, the Steelers allowed 174 points in the fourth quarter this season, most by a playoff team ever. And ever since Mike came here, he's had the reputation of being, like, not a huge scheme guru, but a great motivator. Mike Tomlin is simply not that, at least not anymore. I mean, he's 1-11 now in playoff games after trailing at halftime.
Well, here's what I would say based on your call so far is if they are going to keep Tomlin, and the odds are very strong that they will, unless he decides, right? Unless he calls Art, he's going to make the decision here, I guess. Yeah. Then he has to not be the defensive coordinator. They have to bring in an independent defensive coordinator run the show. I guess Artie's interviewing for a bunch of jobs coming off the worst offensive game in Steelers playoff history. So good luck to him. Anyway, go ahead.
So, just to wrap this up, my suggestion, I would go with you. I would like John Gruden as the head coach. But
I didn't say you'd go with me. What did I say about that?
Well, you brought up something earlier about Gruden being a good choice.
I'd never have brought that up one time in my entire life.
Well, I'm sorry. I must have misheard you earlier.
I mentioned Gruden's name. In what context was that, Limits?
I don't remember.
I think as the guy who replaced Dungy in Tampa, because Dungy's another one who was having success and got fired. But you can say that. I've never said Gruden's name.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I misheard. Okay. That would be my number one. But if that whole legal process is still keeping him out of the league, which, I'm sure probably would be, a Super Bowl winner and a hometown guy, I think Mike McCarthy would be a decent choice to at least reach out.
Maybe, and that's another guy Rodgers forgot about, guys who got fired who are having success, at least as he defines it. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia of Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm. Well, they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. In the hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Cloudy today with a high of Mel Blunt, 47, a low of 30. Jalen Warren. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Coming up at the top of the hour here, Nick Farabaugh from Penn Live. And I also have some personal career news to share coming up at the top of the hour. Oh, Limitless Wonder. Limits is looking at me very quizzically.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're alluding to.
It's going to be interesting. Okay. I can tell you that, my friend. It has nothing to do with the radio station, I might add, if that soothes your fears, or maybe you were hoping for that. I don't know which.
I don't even know what you're getting at here.
Okay.
I have an idea of what you might be sharing.
Okay, it's personal career news. You're probably thinking inside, wait, is Joe going to leave?
No.
It's going to be the Austin and Pomp show.
That is not what I thought.
Yes, it was. I could tell by reading your eyes.
I think it involves...
No, I'll tell it okay. Coming up in a minute. And I will do that. Let's take one more call to round out the hour.
Yeah, let's go to Fake John and Robinson to chime in.
Hi, Fake John.
Hey, guys. Hey, Joe. How are you?
Good. What's up?
So one thing I disagree with that you said is, why wouldn't Mike want to move on? I mean, if you or I were making $20 million a year to not produce or not perform, why would you want to go on?
Because it's still going to be an ugly and uglier scene if he doesn't turn this around next year. And anybody cares about that when you have a whole stadium chanting your name that you need to be fired. I mean, anybody would care about that.
I don't think you do, because you're going to be judged.
No, I think you do. I think you do. I think you care about everybody saying you should be fired and all the stuff he's going to have to put up with and probably does right now. Sure. Here's the other point. He can go make more money elsewhere.
Sure. But he'll be judged on his merit, and he'll be out in 3 years.
Maybe. And I don't know. If he has a quarterback, he might win.
Because he's ever developed his own quarterback, right? But outside of that, the other issue is, Art will content. Nobody cares about the content. He's too afraid of his forefathers, of his father and grandfather, to actually make a gutsy move and do that. So, just let Mike do it. But my resounding point here is, if I was making $20 million, you can yell, fire me all you want. I'll take 3 more years of that.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.